Welcome back to the Deep Dive. This time we're taking Think and Act Locally in a really interesting direction.
Yeah, this one's a bit different.
We're going to be exploring a bunch of free EU books, curated by a historian and author, Tom Woods.
All available at tomsfreebooks.com.
Exactly.
But I'll give you a heads up.
Yeah.
If you're pretty happy with how the American establishment's been running things.
Oh, boy.
These books might ruffle some feathers.
That's one way to put it. Yeah. Tom Woods.
He's a big name.
Yeah, he is known for challenging conventional wisdom.
Especially in libertarian circles.
Definitely. And championing individual liberty.
And limited government.
Exactly. And he's got the credentials to back it up.
He does.
I mean, he received the Hayek Lifetime Achievement Award in 2019.
Named after the famous economist.
Right.
And he's written a couple of New York Times bestsellers.
Yeah, like The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History.
And Meltdown.
So we're not dealing with just anyone here.
No, we are not.
And today's deep dive is focused on excerpts from several of these books.
All kind of circling around a single topic.
Very timely, too.
Which is?
Gun rights in America.
Makes sense with everything going on.
What's fascinating is that each book tackles the issue from a different angle.
You really get a multifaceted view of the debate.
Definitely a complex one.
Oh, absolutely.
One of the books jumps right into the heart of the gun control debate.
At first.
Kind of dissecting those familiar arguments for stricter gun control.
The ones you always hear.
Especially for tragic events.
Like school shootings, unfortunately.
Right.
The author actually has a really interesting background.
Oh, yeah?
He's both a novelist and a former firearms instructor.
Wow. So he's coming at this from multiple perspectives.
Yeah. And he digs into those emotional reactions we see.
You know, like the accusations.
That pro-gun folks are somehow prioritizing firearms over children's lives.
Right, right. And he doesn't shy away from critiquing the lack of practical solutions being offered.
Often in the heat of the moment.
For sure. You know what really struck me?
What's that?
His focus on the potential of armed school staff as a deterrent.
Oh, that's always a hot button issue.
It is. He compares it to having fire extinguishers or seatbelts.
Okay, so not a guarantee you can prevent anything.
Exactly, but potentially life-saving tools in a crisis.
That's his argument.
He even argues that response time,
regardless of who's intervening,
might be the most critical factor in minimizing casualties.
Interesting.
Yeah, he backs it up with a pretty powerful statistic.
Lay it on me.
The average number of people shot in mass shootings is significantly lower when the shooter is stopped by a civilian.
Oh, wow. Compared to when law enforcement arrives on the scene?
Exactly.
So that suggests that faster response times,
regardless of who intervenes, could be crucial.
Makes you think.
It does. And another author in this collection
takes a different approach.
He actually taught free concealed carry classes.
Whoa, to who?
Teachers, students, and school staff in Utah.
Where it's legal.
Right. And his book recounts those experiences.
Sounds fascinating.
And directly challenges the assumption that having guns in schools automatically leads to more violence.
I can see why that would be a concern.
It is. But what I found interesting was his observation.
Go on.
That many teachers were already carrying guns everywhere else in their lives.
Okay.
But felt restricted at work.
Because of gun-free zones?
Exactly.
Interesting. It suggests a pre-existing desire for self-defense.
Even within a group often perceived as being anti-gun.
You don't hear that very often.
Not really. And he also tackles the fear of students getting a hold of a teacher's gun head-on.
That's got to be a big one.
He argues that concealed carry actually makes that scenario less likely than a police officer's openly displayed firearm being snatched.
Oh, wow. So it kind of flips the script.
It does. It's a perspective you don't often hear in mainstream media.
For sure. And it really makes you think about those common assumptions surrounding guns in schools.
It does.
You know, these authors don't stop at just addressing the usual arguments.
They don't?
Nope. They also explore alternative theories.
Like what?
Behind the rise in school shootings.
Okay.
They delve into factors like mental health. The changes in our society over the decades, and even the role of prescription drugs.
It's a reminder that the issue of gun violence
might be far more complex than simply focusing on access to firearms.
For sure.
Absolutely. One author contrasts today's environment with the 1950s.
Back when?
When guns were arguably more prevalent.
Even in schools.
Yet mass shootings were practically unheard of.
It makes you wonder what's changed.
Besides just the availability of guns.
It's a thought-provoking question.
It is. It suggests we need to look beyond simplistic solutions.
If we want to address the root causes of gun violence.
Absolutely.
And the conversation in these books also shifts to the practicality of gun control legislation itself.
How so?
One author who actually worked in the gun industry.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Breaks down the inherent difficulty in defining what constitutes an assault weapon.
I can imagine that's tricky.
It is. And he highlights the potential unintended consequences of broad bans that could end up impacting self-defense rights.
Interesting.
He points to past attempts to ban assault weapons as evidence.
As in?
He cites a study that showed these bans had a minimal impact on overall crime rates.
Huh.
And with the vast number of firearms already in circulation.
Not to mention.
Exactly. The increasing accessibility of 3D printing and home machining.
Enforcing such bans becomes a logistical nightmare.
Exactly. He even draws a parallel to the government's ongoing struggle to stop the flow of illegal drugs.
Makes sense.
Like, if they can't effectively control that, how can we expect them to successfully eliminate guns?
Especially with technology making it easier to manufacture firearms at home.
It's a sobering argument.
For sure.
It challenges us to consider the unintended consequences of legislation that might sound good in theory.
But proves difficult to enforce in practice.
Exactly. Another ebook in this collection is based on one of Tom Wood's podcast episodes.
Okay. What's it about?
It tackles the often misunderstood concept of the militia, as it's mentioned in the Second Amendment.
Oh, that's a tricky one.
It is. The guest is a prominent gun rights advocate.
Makes sense.
And he pushes back against the popular interpretation that the militia refers solely to the National Guard.
Interesting, because
he emphasizes a key historical fact.
Rich
is the National Guard wasn't even established until 1903.
Over a century after the Constitution was written.
Yeah.
So clearly the Founding Fathers had something else in mind.
They did. And he highlights historical examples of militias acting independently of government control.
Oh, like what?
He even brings up the Battle of Athens in 1947.
I don't know that one.
It's where armed citizens successfully stood up against corrupt local officials.
Wow, so it's citizens taking direct action against perceived tyranny.
It really is, and it challenges us to consider what role, if any, such actions might have in modern society.
It's a conversation that often gets oversimplified.
It does. But these examples bring a new level of nuance to the debate. He even connects this concept to the Bundy Ranch standoff.
Interesting, how so?
He suggests that armed citizens acted as a deterrent against potential overreach by the Bureau of Land Management.
Okay, so these examples raise a lot of questions about the role of citizens in resisting perceived government overreach.
Even in the 21st century.
It's definitely a topic that deserves a deeper dive all on its own.
Absolutely. And of course, no discussion about gun control in America would be complete without addressing the comparisons to European countries.
With much stricter gun laws.
Exactly. This episode tackles that head on.
Oh, okay. How?
It challenges the idea that those countries are inherently safer simply because of their stricter regulations.
I can see that argument.
The guest uses specific examples like the Anders Breivik shooting in Norway.
Oh, right.
And the use of vehicles in terrorist attacks in France.
To illustrate his point.
Exactly. These tragedies show that mass violence can still occur even when access to firearms is tightly restricted.
I see what he's getting at.
He even dives into the way crime statistics are reported in different countries.
Oh, so?
Arguing that direct comparisons can be misleading.
So he's essentially encouraging us to look beyond the surface level data.
And consider the nuances of each country's unique context.
It's a reminder that things are rarely as simple as they seem.
And that drawing sweeping conclusions based on limited data
can lead to flawed policy decisions.
We've covered a lot of ground already.
We have.
And I know it's a lot of process, but remember, these ebooks are absolutely e-free at tomsfreebooks.com.
So you can explore these ideas at your own pace.
And delve deeper into the arguments presented.
What's important is that you're engaging with these diverse viewpoints.
Especially those that might challenge your existing beliefs.
It's how we develop a more nuanced understanding of complex issues like gun control.
So as you listen, what's standing out to you?
Yeah, what arguments or examples have surprised you so far?
We'll be back in a moment to dive even deeper into these thought-provoking ideas.
Looking forward to it. You know, it's fascinating how these authors really push us to go beyond those simple comparisons.
The ones we always hear in the gun control debate.
Right, you know, like just pointing to Europe and saying, see, stricter gun laws equal a safer society.
Right. But as we were just discussing those comparisons,
it can be pretty misleading.
One author really digs into this using examples like the Anders Breivik shooting in Norway.
Oh, yeah, where strict gun control obviously didn't prevent that tragedy.
Exactly. And he also brings up the truck attacks we've seen in France.
It's a stark reminder that
individuals intent on causing harm will find a way.
Regardless of gun laws.
And it's not just about those isolated incidents.
Right.
This author also gets into the nitty-gritty of how crime statistics
are compiled and reported
differently across country,
making direct comparisons like apples and oranges.
Exactly.
It's a crucial point. We can't just glance at surface-level data and then draw conclusions
about the effectiveness of gun control.
We have to consider the context, the methodology.
The whole thing.
He's encouraging us to be critical thinkers.
Not just blindly accepting statistics.
Thrown around in the debate.
These ebooks are really hammering home the importance of questioning those easy answers.
One author even argues that this hyper-focus on gun control
might actually distract us from addressing the root causes of violence
in our society.
He makes a thought-provoking comparison to the war on drugs.
Okay.
If the government, with all its resources, can't effectively stop the flow of illegal drugs,
right,
how can we realistically expect them to eliminate guns entirely?
Especially with technology like 3D printing.
And home machining, making it easier to create firearms at home.
It's like trying to ban online piracy. You might be able to block some websites or file sharing platforms, but determined individuals will always find workarounds.
The technology is constantly evolving.
And legislation often struggles to keep pace.
It makes you wonder if those advocating for stricter gun control are sometimes missing the forest for the trees.
Instead of just focusing on the tool.
Shouldn't we be addressing those deeper societal issues that contribute to violence?
Absolutely. Things like mental health.
Economic inequality.
The breakdown of communities.
Even the way violence is portrayed in media.
These are all complex factors.
That deserve attention.
For sure.
Another author in this collection dives into the emotional nature of the gun control debate.
Okay.
And how that often prevents us from having
productive conversations.
He highlights how quickly those who support gun rights are demonized.
And accused of caring more about their guns than about children's lives.
It's a powerful accusation.
That can instantly shut down any attempt at rational discussion.
It's easier to dismiss someone as heartless
than to actually engage with their arguments.
This author argues that instead of resorting to those kinds of emotional appeals
and demonization tactics,
we need to focus on finding practical solutions that address the concerns of both sides.
And he offers some suggestions.
He does, including improving school security,
mm-hmm,
and exploring the potential of armed school staff as a deterrent.
It's definitely a controversial proposal.
It is, but he frames it as a way to potentially minimize response time
in the event of a school shooting.
The idea being that quicker intervention, regardless of who's doing it,
can save lives.
He also addresses those common concerns about having armed teachers.
Like what?
Emphasizing that participation would be voluntary and require rigorous training.
Okay, so he's not suggesting just arming every teacher.
No, not at all.
And he pushes back against the idea that having guns in schools automatically leads to more violence.
Right. He points to the success of concealed carry programs in states like Utah as evidence.
It's a perspective that challenges our assumptions.
He's suggesting that responsible gun ownership can actually be part of a comprehensive safety plan,
rather than an inherent threat.
One of the authors also emphasizes the critical importance of personal responsibility when it comes to gun ownership.
Like what?
He talks about the need for safe storage practices.
Particularly when children are present in the home.
Accidental shootings are a tragedy.
That can be prevented with responsible gun ownership.
And he stresses the importance of proper training.
Owning a firearm isn't just about having it.
It's about knowing how to use it safely and effectively.
Understanding the legal ramifications
of using a firearm in self-defense.
Knowing your rights.
And being prepared to act responsibly in a high-stress situation.
These ebooks really do a great job of covering a wide spectrum of issues
related to gun rights in America.
They explore everything from the historical context of the Second Amendment
to the practical considerations of owning and using a firearm responsibly,
to the complexities of the gun control debate.
And they're constantly challenging the reader to think critically
about the information presented,
to question assumptions,
and to explore alternative viewpoints.
It's not about telling you what to think, but giving you the tools to form your own informed opinions.
Now, it's important to acknowledge that
while these ebooks present a strong case for gun rights,
there are valid concerns on the other side of the debate as well.
These authors don't shy away from acknowledging that.
Concerns about gun violence are real and legitimate.
No one is arguing that gun violence isn't a problem.
That needs to be addressed.
One author, in discussing potential solutions to school shootings, acknowledges the need to address mental health issues as a critical piece of the puzzle.
He argues that focusing solely on gun control
might not be enough.
We need to address the underlying causes of violence.
And that includes mental health.
And it also includes examining the role of societal factors, like the breakdown of families,
the increasing isolation of individuals,
and the pervasive glorification of violence in our entertainment and media.
It's a multifaceted issue.
That requires a multifaceted approach.
There's no single solution that will magically fix everything.
And we have to remember that what works in one context
might not be effective in another.
Different communities face different challenges.
And cookie-cutter solutions are rarely effective.
That's why it's so important to engage with diverse perspectives and consider a range of potential solutions rather than clinging to a single ideology or policy approach.
You know, one part I found particularly intriguing.
What's that?
Was the discussion of the militia concept as it's mentioned in the Second Amendment.
Yes. That's a topic that often gets oversimplified and misrepresented.
One of the authors challenges the popular interpretation that the militia refers solely to the National Guard.
Right. He points out that the National Guard wasn't even established until over a century after the Constitution was written.
So clearly the Founding Fathers had something else in mind.
He argues that they intended for the militia to be composed of ordinary citizens capable of defending themselves and their communities.
And acting as a check against potential government tyranny.
He even uses historical examples of militias operating independently of government control, like the Battle of Athens in 1947.
That's a case where armed citizens successfully challenge corrupt local officials.
It's a powerful example of citizens taking direct action to protect their rights and liberties.
And the author even connects this concept to the more recent Bundy Ranch standoff,
where he suggests that the presence of armed citizens deterred a potential overreach by the Bureau of Land Management.
These examples certainly raise thought-provoking questions about the role of citizens in resisting what they perceive as government overreach, even in modern times.
It's a topic that deserves a deeper dive all on its own.
Absolutely. And speaking of diving deeper, these ebooks are just the starting point.
They're meant to spark your curiosity
and encourage you to do your own research and exploration.
They provide a framework for understanding the complexities of gun rights in America.
But they also challenge you to go beyond that framework
and form your own conclusions based on the evidence and arguments presented.
And with these ebooks available for free at tomsfreebooks.com,
there's no reason not to continue this journey of discovery.
So as we wrap up this part of our deep dive,
what are your thoughts?
What new insights have you gained, and what questions are still swirling around in your mind?
We'll be back in a moment to continue this exploration and see where these ideas lead us next.
You know, it's amazing how these ebooks really challenge us to think beyond those sound bites and slogans.
The ones we hear constantly in the gun control debate.
It's like we're so quick to just grasp at simple solutions.
For such a complex issue.
One author really digs into this idea that banning assault weapons is going to magically fix everything.
Yeah, he really breaks down how difficult it even is to define what an assault weapon actually is.
It seems like a lot of times the term is based
on cosmetic features
that make a gun look scary
rather than any real functional difference.
He points out that those past attempts to ban so-called assault weapons
haven't really moved the needle on overall crime rates.
And then you've got the millions of firearms already out there.
Not to mention the increasing accessibility of things like 3D printing and home machining.
It really does feel like trying to put the genie back in the bottle at that point.
Right. You might be able to control some aspects, but you can't just make something disappear entirely.
This author makes a really interesting argument that fixating on banning certain types of guns
might actually be a distraction.
From what?
From addressing those deeper issues that contribute to violence in the first place.
You mean those root causes we were talking about before?
Exactly.
Like mental health, societal factors, and the way violence is almost normalized in our entertainment and media.
It's all connected.
Another author goes back to that common comparison to European countries with their strict gun control.
And argues that it's not as simple as just saying they have fewer guns, therefore they're safer.
He brings up some really powerful examples, like the Anders Breivik shooting in Norway.
And the truck attacks in France.
To show that even with really tight gun restrictions,
determined individuals can still inflict mass violence.
And then there's the point about how differently crime statistics are compiled and reported.
In different countries.
So we can't just cherry pick data to fit our narrative without understanding the full context.
Exactly.
This whole collection of ebooks really emphasizes how important critical thinking is,
especially when it comes to complex issues like gun rights.
It's about taking responsibility for our own understanding,
not just blindly accepting what politicians or media pundits tell us.
We have to dig deeper, question assumptions, and engage with a variety of perspectives.
These books give us so much to think about.
They offer a ton of information and arguments to help us have more nuanced and productive conversations about gun rights in America.
And the best part is they're all available for free at tomsfreebooks.com.
There's no reason not to check them out and explore these ideas for yourself.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what are your biggest takeaways?
What really resonated with you? What new questions are you pondering?
Remember, the conversation doesn't end here.
Keep exploring, keep questioning, and most importantly, keep thinking for yourself.
That's really the essence of Think and Act Locally.
Empowering individuals to become informed and engaged citizens.
Until next time, keep diving deep.